Hey, what's up, everybody? We are live on the Kicker and the Outlaw. I'm the Kicker, he's the Outlaw. How is everybody doing today? What is up? Hey, what's up, everybody? We are live on the Kicker and the Outlaw. I'm the Kicker, he's the Outlaw. How is everybody doing today? What is up? Man, I'm excited for today's show.
Long time in the NFL.
Oh yeah, it's kind of been a while since but really the NBA's been so crazy of late that the NFL finally got their time.
Kind of nice. Things that go into it. Wow, I'm really looking at myself on camera. That's pretty cool. I pulled it up and I hadn't retweeted it yet, but I gotta retweet it real quick.
Oh, you give it.
And so you can go ahead and throw your little monologue in there and it should be done very shortly.
Yeah, we just kind of got deboed by we were going to talk about some other free agency, but Earl Thomas just signed with the it's really just straight up Ravens news. The Ravens have filled their need at safety. They just let Eric Weddle walk, and they have just signed Earl Thomas to a deal. Let me pull up the details. I don't remember off the top of my head.
They also just got Mark Ingram.
Yeah, they signed Earl Thomas to 4 years, $55 million. 32 of that is guaranteed. And then, as you just mentioned, they signed Mark Ingram to a 3-year, $15 million deal. And that fills their need at the running back position.
Yeah, I guess the Ravens are trying not to be outdone by the Steelers. This is all really. Steelers just got a while ago, like I think it was yesterday, they got a cornerback from the Kansas City Chiefs, Steven. Never heard of the dude, but supposedly he's not too bad. And so the AFC North really got a lot interesting. And then we'll see with the Bengals, because I haven't really heard a lot about what they're doing. But, I mean, obviously, with the stuff that we're going to talk about, obviously, everyone, and if you don't live under a rock, knows that Odell Beckham Jr. went to the Cleveland Browns. And just, we're going to get into that, but the AFC North has gotten stronger, and the New York Giants just possibly became the worst team in the NFC North. But we'll get to that. I'll let you kind of lead into that. It's just free agency is awesome. It's giving us lots of material to talk about. And once again, congratulations to the NFL for being greedy mother fudge cakes and taking, you know, all the shine from everybody. Y'all can't let the NHL get some shine. I mean, Will Wade out here on wiretaps, he got to be happy as hell because he out here talking on wiretaps and all we talking about is OBJ. Like, man, there's like, how many times have you heard Sean Miller's name mentioned in scandal in the same sentence since that conversation came out, and it's just been like, oh, well, they're bad, and Luke Walton might be the next head coach. Y'all ain't heard nothing here talking about Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. I mean, congratulations to the NFL. Y'all saving Will Wade a bunch of headaches. Like, but you know who's really mad? Tylenol real mad, or can't make no money because ain't nobody talking about Will Wade. And so Will Wade, and so y'all need to go ahead and help Tylenol out and stop talking about free agency and talk about Will Wade so he can get him some headaches and Tylenol can make them some money.
I mean, you sure that Tylenol not making any money? Because pretty sure some of these GMs are having some headaches trying to get these dudes signed.
Oh, yeah. All right. Got this Twitter sent out. Stop watching myself on camera. Watching myself twice on camera can be a little confusing. So, you want to jump right in?
Oh, yeah. Let's get it done. So, unless you're living under a rock, Le'Veon Bell last night signed with the New York Jets for 4 years, $52.5 million, 33 of it guaranteed. And so, some people were saying, oh, he only got 52, he had 70 from the Steelers. Well, if he wouldn't have set out last year and taken his tag, it's virtually the same contract.
Yeah, it's... I don't know what's going on in Pittsburgh. I just think that Le'Veon Bell definitely didn't set the market. He's still making less than Todd Gurley. He's still getting less per year than he would have gotten the franchise tag last year. And him, it was never seeming like he wanted to be at the Pittsburgh. He just wanted to get... It was more he wanted to get paid over... And so I think all the drama with the leaks coming out of the locker room last year didn't help. And you could say Pittsburgh looks bad because now they've lost Antonio Brown to the Raiders, which was a really bad trade for Pittsburgh. And now they've lost Le'Veon Bell and Jesse James and Marcus Gilbert. But when you draft wide receivers as well as Connor played as well as he did last year, it's not a huge loss. You got Juju Smith-Schuster. But I don't want to spend too much time on the Steelers because I'm all angry and stuff with them and get all emotional today before I order my pizza and my wings. But I just don't understand. I mean, Le'Veon Bell, cool. I hope he likes. I mean, is it about money or is it about winning? And it obviously, in the end, to make their money. I'm never one of those guys that'll call somebody greedy for making money in a sport that bangs up your body as bad as football. So, congratulations to Le'Veon Bell. Have fun losing to the Patriots two times a year until it looks good. But, like, what receivers do they have? Who are the Jets receivers? Does anybody know?
Not off the top of my head, no.
All right. So who's going to keep the pressure off Le'Veon Bell? You see, he worked in Pittsburgh's offense because they could throw the ball to multiple different weapons, so you couldn't really key on just one part of their offense. Now, pause, however, without LeBron, we're going to see how good Juju Smith-Schuster really is. But, I want to get to the other topic for sure because I got some stuff to say about, you know, the New York football Giants. But I just think that Le'Veon Bell, I mean, congratulations. He could have got the same deal from Pittsburgh. Literally the same exact deal had he just played under the franchise tag. Now, I get not wanting to play under the franchise tag, but it's not like he got franchised at $5 million. $14.5 million is what he turned down last year. $14.5. Like, yeah. I'm glad it's over, and I'm glad they're both gone. And I'm not going to sit here and disparage him because they're not Steelers anymore, right? I mean, I could go on and on about Antonio Brown. I loved them when they were here. Nothing but the best of luck, except for in the win column. Like, I don't want y'all to win no games. But, I mean, it's cool. Like, get your money. Bro, someone on Twitter made a great point. What happened the last time John Gruden had a top wide receiver? Keyshawn Johnson.
Garbage.
They won a Super Bowl, and then Keyshawn got sent home the next year, and I don't think the two have spoken since. And so, I just think that, and I think that people took Mike Tomlin for granted, and then they're going to go to a system where they're like, is Antonio Brown going to be allowed to show up late to every practice in Oakland? Because if he is, it's a great deal. Is Le'Veon Bell going to be allowed to smoke weed with the other running back on the team and then only get suspended a couple games and then get tendered for $14 million? Yeah, and the Le'Veon thing's not as much for me because, yeah, he smokes some weed or whatever, but, like, Le'Veon, until this year, really was never a distraction. I think Pittsburgh should have ended up and paid him, but I don't believe in paying running backs big contracts because you can always get more running backs, and very rarely do they play great in their 30s, and so, whatever, we can move on, unless you got something to say about Le'Veon. Antonio's going to be, like, they have to do Hard Knocks in Oakland now. Like, that's going to be awesome. John Gruden and Antonio Brown. Derek Carr has no excuses now.
Oh yeah, for sure saw that possibility of them having Hard Knocks, and I think that's a great idea for them to get the Hard Knocks. Gruden with a new head case, and I'm not gonna call Antonio Brown a head case. He's not a head case, but that whole saga that comes with Antonio Brown. Are you getting a top five wide receiver at his position? Or top five player at his position? Well, yes. But sometimes that comes with more baggage. And he's definitely following his mentor's footsteps in Terrell Owens. But I think Antonio Brown needs a quarterback that's not going to just bash him. He needs a quarterback that's going to be kind of like a yes man. Going to bash him in the media. Because Terrell Owens was great in Dallas. Do you know why he wasn't great in Philadelphia? Donovan McNabb was very outspoken.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to get to the other wide receiver that just signed a new deal, or he just got traded. Why am I friends with so many Cleveland Browns fans? They're so happy. But the Antonio Brown thing is he produces and he practices hard. Because it's the one Cleveland team I'm not a fan of, right? Because
you're from Akron, bro.
Well, I mean, I don't got Akron on my damn Twitter. Like, I just...
But
you're listening.
Cleveland fans. It's the same thing I go with David with the Cowboys. Because he's a Mavs, Stars, and Rangers fan, you're going to follow Cowboy fans. It's just going to happen.
Right. And it's been cute to follow Browns fans. Like, it was cute for a while. And now it's just like, oh. And listen, I don't have any ill will toward the Cleveland Browns. I just wasn't raised a loser. And so, I got to stop saying I'm so much. I have nothing against the Cleveland Browns, but... Someone posted their lineup, and I was like, okay, so I really want to go back and look at these Twitters for all these celebrating the signing of Kareem Hunt and be like, I don't want to see nothing about Kareem your timeline unless you come with this. Now, do I think Kareem Hunt deserves a second chance? Yes, but like Cleveland Browns fans act like that ain't even happened, first off. Second off, let's get to OBJ. We done beat around that bush. Way too right. little.
So, Odell Beckham Jr. was traded by the New York Football Giants. Trash Giants. Yeah, okay. But he was traded, and they got back Jabril Peppers, who's been a decent safety, and they needed to cover for the fact that they let Landon Collins just walk. And they also got back the number 19 pick in this year's draft and, I believe, a third-round pick in this year's draft as well?
It was the number 17 pick this year and a third-round pick. Okay. Like,
there you go.
I don't remember what the pick was. But
yeah, it was third-round. But I mean, it's a bigger haul than what the Steelers got.
Yes, but I want to go a different direction. So, last year, the Giants took Saquon Barkley number 2 overall. And David, from your show, the House of Shambles podcast, good friend of mine, would pull my hair out if I had to talk to him right now about this, because I know what he would say. So you pick Saquon Barkley number two. And the whole reasoning behind that was, is we can get a quarterback in next year's draft. We have 1 year left with Eli. And we have Evan Engram and Sterling Shepard and Odell Beckham Jr. Fast forward a year. You still have like the fourth or I think they have picked like six. Like what pick did the Giants have in the first round? I think they have four. So you still only have the fourth pick. And there's still only, in my opinion, two quarterbacks in this draft that are worth a damn taking that high. Maybe, and that's Haskins and Murray. So what happens if they don't get Haskins or Murray? That means you drafted a running back in a draft that was full of quarterbacks that projected to at least be good. You got a running back who you're going to have to pay lots of money to in 4 years after you do all the other stuff. And you just traded your best wide receiver, and you decided to keep Eli for another year. And because he was like not terrible at the end of the season, like this makes no sense. Like you let your best safety go. Eli Apple left, and he did really well in New Orleans, even though they had to have like security guard that dude. Like, what are the Giants doing? To that question, the Browns. Congratulations, the Browns stopped. The Browns are like, it's like opposite day. Like the Browns are like, hey, we're gonna fleece people and we're gonna start making good moves. The Browns offense looks scary. I've been on record saying I'm a Baker guy. But do people told me the Browns are going to win the AFC North last year. Now, do they have a legit? Yes, they do this year. Like I said it last year, I said they're 1 year away. You still have, we have no idea if Freddie Kitchens can coach an entire football team. We know that Baker has an interesting personality, which I like. And then now you have Odell. So let's see if they can put it, they got.
But we are back, and this is the Kicker in the Outlaw, and Jesse had just got done talking about his little rant about the New York Giants and what they're doing. Okay, sorry, I don't know why I was playing in the background, but like I said, Jesse just got done talking about the Giants, so my thing. They're going to be trash, but they're doing this thing, I guess they're doing this rebuild the correct way, I guess you could say. Like, they're, like, just getting draft picks and young players and getting rid of all their headaches, and now you just need to draft a quarterback. So, now that you have another first-round pick this year, you have no excuses of either, one, trading up, or two, drafting a quarterback where you sit currently. And then drafting another player, probably a defensive pass rusher, at 17. And then in the third round, go get you another corner to replace Eli Apple. That's what I would do. But
I'm glad you said the thing about them trading up, because this is the one thing that helps them, is if you're going to trade Odell, now you have two first-round picks that you can package together if you absolutely think you should go get that number one pick. That was my only comment on that, but everything else you said is absolutely spot on. Unfortunately, I wish you would say some dumb stuff so I could argue with you.
Hey, I'm not an idiot, bro.
But that's why you have a show with me.
Shots fired, bro. I'm glad he listened.
By who?
You! Sometimes he'll get me and I won't even realize it, but sometimes with him it's like, if he'll end up in a good point, but it's so biasly in nature that you're like, oh God, I don't even know, take you seriously right now. Like his Jacksonville take last year, it was so in biased nature, but he was so spot on with it. And that's still the problem why Nick Foles isn't going to be good. And I kind of just parlayed this into more NFL free agency talk. But Nick Foles signs a 4-year, $88 million deal to go down to Jacksonville to be their starting quarterback. Who's he going to throw the ball to? He doesn't have probably the top five tight end in the league. Doesn't have a good number one receiver. Doesn't have a let, and then he has a good running back. Give him that, but he literally, and then Aguilar wasn't bad, and so you got three targets that are better than anything Jacksonville has.
I really want Nick Foles to do well. I really do, but I haven't seen his. I've only seen him be good in like the 1 year when no one had any tape on him.
But I don't think so. Even his time in what was it? The Rams, and then the beginning of last year, I think he's still a better quarterback regardless than Blake Bortles. I think Blake Bortles can throw the ball, but I don't think he's there mentally. Like, I don't think he makes good decisions. I could be wrong. I don't watch enough Jacksonville games, but of the ones I do watch, like the Cowboys game last year, it's just like, what are you doing? Like, why is that a good idea? You're down 4 touchdowns and you're throwing a jump ball and triple coverage. Like, why is that a good idea? Washington. There we go. Okay with this, honestly. I mean, he's a younger version of Alex Smith, right? Agree?
Yeah. I mean, he plays the same way, he fits the offense. I mean, they didn't, like, you know, way overpay for him. I mean,
6th-round pick. I mean,
what else is Washington? Yeah, Washington's not going to have a stupid high draft pick. And this quarterback draft is awful. Like, I was reading all the stuff on all these quarterbacks, and there's another argument that I got into with David about Trace McSorley. Remember, I was picking him as a dark horse for the Heisman, and he's like, what did he call him? He called him the Stone Cold Killer, Trace McSorley. I'm like, what? Stone Cold killing it? What? draft looks like a bunch of Case Keenum.
Yeah.
And Nick Foles, what this draft looks like.
Did you see how he got he got heated with me over the fact that I said that Sorley could possibly, when I look at him, I see the next Julian Edelman. And Sean Payton said that, and I retweeted. I said, "See, I'm not an idiot. Sean Payton agrees." David got mad. Like,
did David try to insinuate that he probably knew more about football than Sean Payton? Because it's something he would definitely do.
No.
And by the way, like, if you're listening, this is our friend, and we love him. Are you still doing a show today?
No, I think he went to bed. This ain't behind the back, though. This is double say to his face.
Oh, yeah. And I'll buy him a beer.
Yeah. But, kind of while we're on the draft, I guess, there's really only one quarterback, maybe two, that I think that I have a feeling are ready to play. And that's Dwayne Haskins and not Kyler Murray. I think the quarterback from Duke is more ready because of Cutcliffe. Kyler Murray has way higher of a ceiling, but his floor is way lower than I think the quarterback for Duke is. Because with all all the craziness that comes with Kyler Murray. It's like when Tim Tebow came out. Like, you're gonna get a bazillion questions about Kyler Murray being your starting quarterback. If he doesn't get drafted number one overall, and if say he does, you've got to trade Josh Rosen. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it. It will destroy, the media will destroy Josh Rosen.
And then the next year, they were like, nah, screw that, and got Cam Newton. And
yeah.
And then Cam Newton took his number. I think Cam Newton took his number.
Yes. He was wearing number two.
Yeah.
But that's been Cam Newton number forever.
Right. And so, well, Cam Newton's won now, right? I think, but I don't know. It's something like that. I think he was going to take Jimmy Clausen's number, and then he just went with number one. But anyways, it's similar to where, and I haven't watched enough Josh Rosen, but man, when I get this DirecTV, it's going to be on, so I can watch all these trash quarterbacks be bad on DVR, because I usually work during football games. But yeah, it'll be interesting.
We'll just get it.
I agree with you. I agree with you about the Duke kid. I was really just trying to create an argument out of thin air. But Kyler and Tebow are hard comparisons because, A, Tebow is throwing like 49% in the NFL, and Kyler Murray was like the most efficient quarterback of all time. But they both played in the spread. But I think that's kind of being debunked. Now, Tebow was a better – now, honestly, Tebow was bigger. So I think that helped Tebow because he could absorb all those hits. Kyler Murray take them kind of hits. That dude gonna be out there on like some celebrity golf tournament, like, hey man, remember that time when you played, you know, you got hit a whole bunch of times and your legs don't work real good no more? Yeah, that's what they're gonna be saying to him. But no, I mean, Kyler's not a sure thing, you're absolutely right. But none of these quarterbacks are. I mean,
okay.
you never know.
Go
ahead.
To be fair, what I was saying was the circus that goes with Kyler Murray. I wasn't, like, insinuating that Kyler Murray... No, I wasn't. Kyler Murray is 10 times a better quarterback than Tim Tebow. I'm just saying that the circus that is Kyler Murray has only been rivaled between Tim Tebow, Johnny Manziel, and maybe Baker Mayfield last year.
What circus? And I'm not familiar with it. Like, I'm being serious here. Like, can you explain this to me or to the listeners? Because I have no idea what you're talking about.
When I say circus, you know, when he comes into camp, if he's not the starting quarterback, you're going to get a gazillion questions from the national media. Kyler Murray's been talked about for weeks. Why? Who's the better quarterback? Who's the better passer, we think? Kyler Murray or Dwayne Haskins? But my thing is,
they run different. They run similar offenses. I didn't watch a lot of Ohio State though. They play early in the morning, and I don't watch a lot of Ohio State, to be honest.
I'm just saying, like, with coming with being a Heisman Trophy winner, you've got all this media attention. It's kind of what I mean by circus. Not the LeBron kind of circus where, like, it's a drama all the time. I'm talking about, like, just media and questions and all this stuff. Is what I was referring to.
Well, that's why I hope he does go to Arizona, because I think Bruce Arians is perfect to handle that. I think his personality works with the media. What did I Stephen A myself? What did I say?
You said Bruce Arians can handle in Arizona.
Yeah, Bruce Arians, the head coach of the world. Oh no, he's a coach. They got Cliff. I sound like an idiot. Yes, people, I know that Bruce Arians ain't coach there in a minute. They had that Steve Wilks dude that I never even heard of. Never mind. Maybe he should. But okay, so let me change my take. Do you think that Cliff Kingsbury is able to deal with the media? I have no idea. Cliff seemed like a cool dude. Hey, what if Tampa Bay traded up for the number one pick and got Kyler Murray? Since you know they ain't really all in on Jameis.
I don't know. I'm curious. What that kind of brings up another point. I'm curious what Bruce Arians thinks of. James Winston. Good Lord, that's what Brady is. But yeah, I'm curious to think what he thinks of Jameis. I mean, he does wonders for quarterbacks.
I mean, Roethlisberger was good under him. Andrew Luck was great under him. Arizona. Carson Palmer had a career resurgence under him in Arizona. So yeah, I mean, I just think they're really that good. Like, really, really that good. Like, really, like, if you stack him up against number one picks of all time, is he really the number one pick? Or is a lot of this name?
I think a lot of it's name. Like, a lot. Alright, let's play. Let's do this. Me and you, we're going to play if I'm a GM. Because everybody wants to play Twitter GM. Let's play Twitter GM for a minute. Or radio GM, whatever you want to call it.
Podcast GM.
Alright, there we go. Alright, so I've got the number one pick. And I know my defense and offense were both trash last year. Trash enough that they got a first-year coach fired. Alright. I don't need a quarterback. I need a lot of other things. So, instead of doing all this, let me find somebody that would like to draft either Kyler Murray, Dwayne Haskins, or Joey Bosa. And then you send me your first round pick, your second round pick, and your third round pick. And then now I can draft.
I'm the GM of the Arizona.
Right, go ahead.
Oh, if I'm the GM of the Arizona Cardinals, I'm doing that. But I got one mark on my list. I got one team that I'm looking at. We already talked about them. The New York Football Giants. You know what? You want this number one pick? So what they're going to do is they're going to be sitting in their room and they're going to be like, man, I really like Kevin Costner. And then someone's going to be like, hey, man, remember that movie Draft Day? And they're going to watch Draft Day. And then they're going to call New York and they're going to get both their first round picks and some second round picks, because the Giants. The thing is, I can't really make this until I figure out what next year's quarterback class is going to look like. Because New York needs a quarterback bad. But can New York... I don't know. I don't think Kyler Murray works in New York. But it's windy as hell in Oklahoma, and he seemed to play well there. So I don't know. I don't think his personality fits New York. And I don't... Like, Josh Rosen to New York would be interesting to me. But I'd have to go watch tape on Josh Rosen and see if he was really bad, because he was good in college. really good in college. And but Arizona was terrible last year. Like, their only two wins were against the 49ers and, like, one other team that they shouldn't have beat. Like, they were super garbage. They were, like, Oscar the Grouch, like, as a trash man living in a dumpster because he was homeless after he got off work as the garbage man trash. But, yeah, I'm not taking trash. Kyler Murray if I'm Arizona.
But, I mean, if you look at it, they have gotten a pass rush, so why do you get to it? Now I'm starting to think they might take Kyler by picking up, even though he's older in age, he still can get after the quarterback. And that's Terrell Suggs, signed a 1-year, $7 million contract with the Arizona Cardinals. So it's like, okay, why draft Joey Bosa after you? Joey's I about screwed that up. I said San Diego. He's in L.A. With the Chargers. Gosh, I keep calling him Joey. But Nick, I'm sorry, Nick, the one who set out. But Nick Bosa. And then, so yeah, I wouldn't be shocked, honestly, now, if you think about it like that, because they just signed Suggs. But who knows, you might draft Bosa thinking Suggs can kind of show him the way, but who knows, I don't know.
Yeah, this is like the least the draft has been talked about in recent memory, just because
there's not a bunch of quarterbacks.
It's a lot of defense players.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great draft for a team like your Ravens. I say your as in like your enemy Ravens, because they've gotten rid of CJ Mosley, Terrell Suggs, and they just got rid of Weddle, but they just signed Earl Thomas to kind of that boy. But they're trying to get younger. They've gotten younger at safety a little bit. And so now in this draft, there's a lot of defensive players. And the one I like the most.
Go ahead. Okay, you're like, your mic's kind of doing weird things. I think to help your quarterback out though, because your defense can play as well as it did last year, but your quarterback doesn't throw real well, and you just got rid of all your wide receivers. Yeah. And they've historically never—they've been terrible at that position their entire existence. That's the one thing they've never gotten right. They don't do well in free agency with wide receivers. They damn sure don't draft wide receivers well. I did a history lesson with one of my Ravens friends, and he was like, "Oh my gosh, there were dudes we ain't even heard of before." And I know lots about sports, but yeah, like the Ravens. So, I mean, I'm not even going to really talk about the draft till April, just because I don't have time to do all that homework yet. But, and I don't care about the combine. The combine is silly to me. Is it going to hurt Kyler if he doesn't throw? No, he's going to throw it as pro day.
What's today?
Like, it is today. I had no idea. I'm going to pretend like I knew that. But here's the thing, dude. The combine's so stupid to me. Like, really, like, the 40 time is important in certain positions, but really just go look at the tape and study the tape and look and be like, okay, that dude can play. Or, hey, that dude doesn't show a lot of effort in the game. Like, do I care how many times he can deadlift and dead press? Now, you gotta, I mean, it tells you a little bit, but it's not the end-all be-all. The combine is for people on Twitter. That's what the combine's for. Oh my goodness, did you see the Diego Community College for the Blind, AT&T? Like, he just ran a 4.2. Like, okay, but he can't catch. Darius Eberbay. Like, come on, man.
Hey, but I will say, a player to look out for that would, I think, prepare well with a quarterback that's maybe not as accurate in Lamar Jackson is DK Metcalf from Ole Miss. Dude doesn't, right now, is not very agile as far as in and out of his cuts, but when you're not a very accurate quarterback, you're not very needing your players to run perfect routes. You throw a lot of jump balls, and DK Metcalf is a monster and fast. He ran like a 4.3 at 6.4 230. So it's basically giving him Julio Jones.
Yeah. I saw the whole conversation you and David had about it. And David was just like, oh, he's terrible inside of this. And then he said something. It didn't matter for that guy for some reason. Like I said, I don't care about the combine. Like, that, yeah, that kind of drill says, okay, he's not great. And there's a lot of receivers that run really bad routes, and with quarterbacks can throw them open. So, and he's young, and he can develop. Like, he didn't get to Ole Miss by being trash because they don't pay. I mean, I'm sorry, they don't recruit trash players anymore. You know, recruit.
And it wasn't like his first 2 years with Patterson. Patterson wasn't like a great quarterback himself. And then last year, their quarterback was a more running quarterback. So I think Lamar fits him just as well as anybody.
That would be interesting.
It makes sense. I mean, but we can get into this later when the draft comes up next month. But it was just kind of something I just thought of off the top of my head. I mean, it'd be interesting. But we just had some more breaking news while we're on the show. The Rockets just gave a 5-year extension to their GM.
The Rockets?
Yeah, they just extended their GM 5 years.
Oh, Morey, right?
Mm-hmm. He does a lot for the NBA, just for the Rockets, but like just the NBA as a whole. I like him. I mean, even though I kind of have like a dislike for the whole Houston because of a Dallas fan, unbiased opinion, I really like what the Rockets are doing. They might be the best.
Yeah, they are.
Best team in the NBA right now. And before you give me a response,
for these 5 minutes.
Before you give me a response, we'll take a break. We'll be right back. Just keeping the outlaw.